dress.
A beauty killer's in the sky. What a thrilling time to be alive.
Welcome into the Georgia Show. Palmer Toms, Jake Roos here on September 5th, talking Georgia, Tennessee Tech. The barn burner that we're in for on Saturday. No, but we got a couple of topics to get to today. Biggest questions that we've got for the Bulldogs coming out of a dominant opening victory. Jake, I don't know if you've had a chance to talk about that on Bark After Dark, but you know, my first chance to do so here today. We'll hit on a couple of freshmen that we're going to be watching on Saturday as the Bulldogs take on Tennessee Tech. Jake, I know that's your expertise, those youngsters, those guys that are up and coming, and
no one knows 17-year-old boys like I do. Palmer Toms.
We won't flip that. Yeah. And then we got a little bit of a Dogs HQ and A. Threw it up on the message board earlier this morning. Get your questions in the chat as well, and we'll be sure to hit on a couple of those. But Jake, before we get into that, let's talk Georgia, Tennessee Tech, and what we're in for this Saturday. And really, I think the way to do so is to discuss what we saw last Saturday and what we want to see coming out of last Saturday, what we want to see going into this Saturday. What are the biggest questions you've got for this team coming out of last weekend?
You know, I guess, Palmer, I thought about that question. It's a good question as to, like, where can Georgia improve coming off of that win? Because, obviously, you're talking about one of the top teams in the country, Clemson, big expectations around those guys. But I think that, for me, there's a couple of things that you want to see. And the number one is probably a faster start. And that shouldn't be a problem against Tennessee Tech. But I think going down the line, when you look at the Texases, when you look at the Alabamas of the world, those are teams that you're going to have to kind of get out in front of. Otherwise, playing from behind, not a good strategy with all the playmakers that they have. They have a lot of talent on defense as well. So you want Georgia to kind of get it, I think, into that groove of being able to, you know, hey, we can come out, we can start fast, we can get this ball rolling. And like I said, you just don't want to be playing from behind all year. I think from a defensive standpoint, I want to see less injuries, I guess, is probably the best thing on the defensive.
There's not a lot to question about that group when you put up 3 points. I mean, like we talked to Raylan Wilson this week and we were asking him, hey, what are the things y'all want to improve on? And he's like, man, you know, we felt pretty good about it. It's unless you're putting up a goose egg, it's harder to do better than a three.
100%. I mean, health is really the only concern I have on the defensive side of the ball right now. I think that the ability to keep those guys healthy, especially those guys up on the defensive line, you've got to do that. I think for that reason, we're going to get a lot of run from the freshmen this week. Not just out of like, hey, we've got an opportunity for you to play, but it's an opportunity of like, we need to save some bodies in case. And so, you know, I don't have just a ton of questions. I mean, I think that week one went pretty well, but I do think that starting fast is something that the Bulldogs have to kind of get right. It's not something that Carson Beck has notoriously been good for. You know, Jake Rowe and I talked about that the other day, I think on the radio show, the idea that Beck's kind of earned this reputation a little bit as a bit of a slow starter. Now, I'm not saying that he's bad or that hampers anything necessarily. I mean, they get the job done in the end. But again, like I said, against Texas, against Alabama, you know Ole Miss is going to put points up. You know Tennessee is going to be coming out swinging as well. I mean, those are games where you're going to want to control the narrative rather than kind of having to answer. And I think that that's something that they really have a lot of room for improvement in.
Yeah, to me, I'll start on defense. And the question I've got is, what is Georgia's best secondary look? You mentioned up front the injuries, and I don't know that we've seen the best that the Bulldogs have to offer up front because Mykael Williams is banged up now, because Warren Brinson played 3 snaps on Saturday. You want to get those guys in there regularly. You also want to have Jordan Hall and Xavier McLeod in there rotating alongside Kristen Miller and Nazir Stackhouse and the linebackers and everything that front seven has to offer. I don't know that we've seen the best that group has to offer, and that will come with them getting healthy. But on the back end, they are healthy. Janelle Aguero missed Saturday's game, and I would expect him to be back this Saturday. But to me, his return allows Georgia to get a feel for what its best defensive backfield looks like. Is it with Malachi Starks at star and playing Dan Jackson and KJ Bolden at safety? I think that was a very interesting look. I think it just shows us how talented of a player Malachi is. And
that's what I was going to say. I don't know that it really, I mean, the best look for Georgia is to have five Malachi Starks. That's really bad.
And 24 is going to be on the field regardless of where
you just got to fit the pieces in around him. It doesn't matter really otherwise. I mean, if you need him at corner, he could play there. If you need him at star, obviously he showed he can do that. Safety, we know his capabilities there. That kid is kind of the linchpin to this whole thing. Everybody else around him is going to make him better. I'm not saying they're not going to elevate things, but you need to put that guy, in my opinion, in the position to make the most plays possible. You know, and maybe that's not always patrolling the deep field. Maybe that is the star position where you can kind of be versatile. You can come up, you can create some havoc. You know, you can get a little bit more involved in the midfield. I think I tend to lean toward perhaps star is the spot for.
See, I might push back a little bit on that of putting Malachi in a position to make the most plays. To me, he's kind of the eraser. He has the ability to fill in a hole wherever you have it. Do you feel like your biggest hole is at star? Do you feel like it's at safety where you don't have a ton of depth? And look, here's the thing. With as many talented defensive backs as Georgia has recruited over the last several years, we're going to see them all. We're going to see Janelle Aguero. He's going to get his opportunity. There's a reason he was a projected starter. We're going to see KJ Bolden. There's a reason he was a five-star. There's a reason he was on the field early. We're going to see Dan Jackson. There's a reason he's still around. There's a reason that Georgia has kept him around and why he's been so valuable to the Bulldogs for several seasons now. I mean, going back to 2021, he was in there. At corner, you're going to see Ellis Robinson. You're going to see Daniel Harris. You're going to see Julian Humphrey. You're going to see Dalen Everett. There are a lot. Ja'Cory Thomas, another guy that you're probably going to see a good bit of. There are so many talented players in this secondary that you're going to see them all. Malachi is the one consistent person that I think will be on the field. Him and Dalen Everett probably, although I do think they will rotate a good bit at corner. To me, Malachi is going to be out there regardless of who else is around him. I'm interested to see what Georgia's best look in that secondary is. And then I'm with you on offense. I'm interested to see how they get going a little bit quicker. I don't know. You know, I felt like last week was a vanilla game plan. And Jake and I had a discussion about that walking out of the stadium, and he kind of pushed back on that a little bit, didn't necessarily think that it was vanilla, and thought that, you know, it looks a lot better if Carson makes a couple of the better decisions and doesn't, not necessarily put – he didn't make the wrong decisions. He just didn't make the right ones. The ones that show up on the stat sheet and look super sexy and all that. I think that he has an ability to start earlier. I think that there's probably some help that he can get from Mike Bobo and the play calling to do so. I don't know that we're going to see that against Tennessee Tech. I think that it may just come naturally. I think that they may keep it vanilla and that the Georgia can out-athlete Tennessee Tech. Maybe it happens against Kentucky. We might be waiting around until Alabama later this month to see it. But I do think that Georgia needs to get going a little bit quicker on offense, because if we're talking about a team that's put up 6 points in the first half this Saturday, the message boards are not going to be happy.
People are going to throw themselves off of buildings if they've scored 6 points in the first half against Tennessee Tech, Palmer. You're putting it quite like, if we don't see Gunnar Stockton by like the fourth drive, then we're probably talking about a different thing here. I mean, I think you're talking about a lot of run for all of those guys. I'm really excited, especially, I think, to see these freshman running backs. I want to see Chauncey Bowens get in there. Can they get some, a little bit of run for Dwight Phillips, maybe use him as that offensive weapon, drop a little something for him? That'll be exciting to see. The young defensive linemen, though, have me really excited. Justin Green is a guy that I really, really want to see in action. Nnamdi Egboko is a raw talent, but somebody that I think the expectations are understandably high around. And then it's not going to be a full game, of course, but I think what will be a fuller game of Joseph Jonah Ajanye, I want to see what he can do with the reps, man. And I think that he's going to be able to deliver in a big way. I'm excited for this game. I think you said, can they out-athlete him? look, realistically, man, Georgia's third string should be able to out-athlete
Tech. Absolutely.
I mean, that's just – we call it what it is. I look, Bill Shanks down at Macon, I love it. He calls it a cash for clunker game, man. I mean, it's – you know, you got to play these sometimes. And really, you hope nobody comes out hurt and that everybody, you know, gets a little bit more experience under their belt. And ultimately, everyone has fun and is able to have a good time and have a snack pack after the game. But
that's what it's all about. Just eating,
sure, of course,
eating oranges after the game and having fun and getting.
Mom's bringing juice boxes. Right? Mom's bringing juice boxes, and we're all gonna go play some PS4. No, I think that you know, that's the key thing here. I want to see Nitro Tuggle. I want to see you know, some of these young guys just get out there and show what they can do. And I think, too, you got to see some of that last week. I was talking about this the other day. I think that Georgia has a chance here to really kind of put itself in a good position moving forward in terms of guys having on-field experience in the first couple of games. They've got some young guys who've been able to kind of make that crossover and get into the game already against Clemson, which was a huge get. But this week should be even more of the same. I think that that bodes very well for how things go the rest of this year, because you're going to have guys who know what it's like to do it when the band's playing.
I'm going to have you hold that thought a little bit more on the freshmen, because we'll get there in a second. But before we do so, I want to talk to y'all about Prize Picks. Promo code DAWGS, D-A-W-G-S, play $5, get $50. You don't even have to win the bet, your play for the day. And we've got a play for the day. And I will pull that up for y'all here. I think this is one that Georgia fans are going to enjoy.
A little bit of a homer pick.
But, you know, Prize Picks, it's a super fun way to play and to stay involved at daily fantasy sports. You make a couple of selections on more or less for these player projections. They've got everything you could wonder. NFL, college football, MLB. Yes, that's still going on. WNBA, they've got it all for you. And it's a great, really fun way to play. Again, use promo code DAWGS, D-A-W-G-S, to get involved. And our play for the week, we've got two former Georgia quarterback commits. Brock Vandegrift was once a Georgia quarterback. Dylan Raiola was once a desired Georgia quarterback.
Caleb Williams is also heavily recruited by the
Caleb Dodgers. Williams, yeah, good point. I didn't even think about that one. Three heavily recruited five-star quarterbacks for Georgia. Brock Vandegrift against South Carolina. I think there's going to be some eyes on that game from a Georgia perspective, A, because of Brock and Jamon, but B, because the Bulldogs take Kentucky on next week. Very interested to see how that goes. He had a really strong showing in their opener, didn't get to play the full game. They had a weather delay early on that caused a delay and ended up having to wrap that game up after three quarters, I think. I think Brock Vandegrift over more than 206.5 passing yards as they take on South Carolina. Dylan Raiola, big game there against Colorado, Nebraska-Colorado rivalry that's being renewed. I'm going with less, 234.5. And then this is the key here, guys. Prize Picks is doing a deal this week on Caleb Williams with the NFL kickoff coming this Sunday. Caleb makes his rookie debut against my Tennessee Titans. As much as I don't want Caleb Williams to throw for a bunch of yards, I do think that he's going to get more than just one. And so the play here is the more over 0.5 passing yards. If he throws for 1 yard, that hits. So make sure to include that one in there. Feel pretty good about that chances of hitting. And so we're going to put this one in. Power play for all three to hit, 20 to win $100 on those three. And we will certainly be monitoring that as things play out. But Prize Picks, really fun way to play. feel free to join us in riding on that play. Jake, I mentioned to you that we were going to talk about the freshmen. You did so a little bit. You gave us a great intro here, a segue. What do y'all think? What do you think about if I had to pigeonhole you into one freshman that you're watching this week? Let's take KJ Bolden and Nate Frazier out of the equation, because we saw them with the ones this week. some guys that are going to get a lot more run this week than they did against Clemson. Who's the one that you are most excited? And I'll give you two, one on each side of the ball. Who's the one that you are most excited about seeing this Saturday?
That's tough, man. I think offensively, I am really intrigued to both of them are guys that we've seen that we heard a lot about, I think, through kind of the fall camp. And you heard that kind of the lights were clicking on for these dudes. Nitro Tuggle on the offensive side of the ball is a guy that I want to see if he can get out there and kind of be the guy that everyone hoped he could be. You wonder to some degree, and I made this comparison when he was in high school, you know, Tyler Williams, not the current commit, but the guy who was actually on the team, Tyler Williams. He felt like that to me when I was watching the tape. I was like, the competition's not great. He looks raw. He looks like he knows what he's doing, though. I'm wondering to see if that translates over. And it sounded like he kind of struggled through the spring, sounded like he kind of caught on in the fall. If he can turn into a weapon for this passing game, that bodes well not only for this year, but obviously years to come for sure. And then defensively, the easy pick for me is Joseph Jonah Janye, who I mentioned earlier. But the guy that I'm probably most excited about, aside from him, is Quintavious Johnson. I really want to see a dose of him out there. You know, the reports on him, man, were just glowing. People loved what they were seeing out of this guy. And obviously a freak athlete, man. I mean, played quarterback in high school at Mays, comes in, they put him at edge, and had that vision all along. Dude can run. Dude is big. He brings a lot of it all to the field. He knows what the quarterback's thinking in a lot of cases, which is a rare thing. You don't see that edge to quarterback transition a quarterback to edge transition very often. So I'm really excited to see him. And I'll tack one more in there, and that's Ellis Robinson, because everybody just thinks this kid's the next dude. I mean, like, a lot of people were saying, like, most complete cornerback prospect in years, you know, in that Derek Stingley type mold of like almost a can't miss guy. We didn't get to see, you know, what he could do last week, but I think that you'll get to see a heavy dose of Ellis Robinson this week against Tennessee Tech. And I want to see if he looks like the dude everybody thinks that he is.
Yeah, for me, I'm going to go with Jaden Riddell on the offensive side of the ball. I think that tight end room. You mentioned those running backs, Chauncey Bowens, Dwight Phillips. I'm excited to see them, Nitro Tuggle and Sakovi White. But to me, Georgia has become one with the tight end position. And when you think of Georgia football, you think of the tight ends on offense at least. And, you know, I think that Riddell has a chance to be that next big guy for them. You know, I don't see him making the freshman impact that Brock Bowers did. I think that was just such an anomaly and a situation of opportunity where Brock was so special. I think Georgia has recruited a lot of really special guys in that room. And Lawson Lucky is the next guy to get that kind of chance to show his skill set. But Oscar Delp is in there now. You got Ben Urosik. Jaden Riddell has a really good shot to be a special player for Georgia. And probably not as a freshman, but I do think that he's going to let's put it this way. I don't see him redshirting this year. I'll tell you this, though.
He better assert himself because you got Elias Williams just waiting in the wings, brother. And that kid's going to be hard to stop when he gets on the field in Athens. So I'm with you on Riddell. I think Riddell's a hell of a player. I think he's great. I'm just saying there's a lot of talent in that tight end.
And then Ryan Puglisi, if he gets some run this weekend, interested to see that. You know, I wouldn't expect a ton for him or Jaden Rashada. I think that they're going to – I mentioned this yesterday on radio. It's so important. It was so important for Carson, the reps that he got as the backup and when he did eventually step into a starting role. I think that they're going to try to do that with Gunner this year, that they're going to try to get Gunner as many opportunities as they can. For him to get comfortable and get as comfortable as possible. You know, Rashada and Puglisi are going to have to do so probably in practice, get majority of their reps in practice. And Gunner's going to get the majority of his reps in practice. But I think when they turn things over to the second team, you know, it's probably going to be Gunner that's getting those reps. You know, he's already burned a red shirt. You still have a red shirt there for both Rashada and Puglisi available. If I'm not mistaken,
no, Rashada's a red shirt.
He redshirted last year.
Yeah,
okay.
He did.
I couldn't remember if he played in four or a few more. I knew that he didn't play a full season, but anyway, that being said, I think that Gunner is the one that has the most experience in this offense. among those three, that's undisputable. And so I think that he's going to be the one that gets those reps. But that being said, if Puglisi does get in the game, very interested to see that because we didn't get to see him this spring because he was out for the G-Day game. So that's on offense. Jaden Riddell would be my one pick.
I'll give you another one that neither of us said, and it popped into my mind. And he got a couple reps the other day.
I think I know where you're going.
Ja Jackson.
Yep.
I want to see. Yeah, dude. I want to see Ja Jackson out there. I mean, I thought it was great that he found the field on his first attempt or his first opportunity to do so. Right. I mean, They didn't have to put the kid out there in the first game of the season against this squad. We really might get to see a heavy dose of him, and I hope so, man. Just. Who doesn't love a big freak show out there? Just absolutely. And I mean, look, Tennessee Tech, God bless them, man. If that kid comes out there, their edges might just go head for the locker room early on. I think if I were them.
Yeah. Defensively, it's so tough because that class, I mean, top ranked class that Georgia signed this past year, so many special players on that side of the ball. You mentioned Ellis Robinson, KJ Bolden's an obvious one. Joseph Jonah Janye was a 5-star. DeMello Jones was a 5-star. To me, the one that we and it's two. It's two, but I want to see them both, and they go hand in hand. It's Chris Cole and Justin Williams. Those two at linebacker. We were having discussions on the message board already about, you know, hey, if you had to take the impact of CJ Allen, Raylan Wilson, Troy Bowles. That career path, those three guys that have a 1 year step ahead on Chris Cole, Justin Williams, and Chris Jones, which class are you taking? I think that this is the first opportunity for Williams and Cole to really make a statement. They looked really, really fast on Saturday during the G-Day game. Freak shows at linebacker. Very interested to see those guys as they continue to play out. And You mentioned the defensive linemen. I think they're going to get some run earlier than probably some of these linebackers and DBs because Georgia needs those guys ready. They need to be prepared for the potential. I think they're going to be playing without Mykel Williams. It probably wouldn't – you're probably not going to see a ton of Warren Brinson. you know you're down Jordan Hall and Xavier McLeod. So
I'd be shying away from Nazir Stackhouse for that exact reason.
Yeah, I don't know how much run Nazir Stackhouse and Kristen Miller are going to get because you're trying to preserve those guys for the potential of playing some of these bigger games, Kentucky, Alabama, on down the line without some of those guys that we just mentioned. So you want to preserve those guys, but B, you want to get the guys behind them ready. So yes, you're going to see Stackhouse and Miller a little bit, but if they're in a single digit snap count, I would not be I'd be shocked if they go over a single digit number. If they hit double digits on that snap count on Saturday, I just think that we're going to see a very low amount of those guys. I think that we're going to see more of these youngsters on the defensive line in early. Roos, you look like there's somebody at your door.
I don't know what's happening. Yeah, somebody just pulled up in front of my house. Not a very good sign.
Never ceases to amaze.
Look, there's always action here. And speaking of action, if you're trying to get in the action, follow these recruits. We're talking about these freshmen. Look, everybody starts somewhere. You want to watch the best of the best in the state of Georgia and beyond, and the guys on the commit list. We make it easy over at Dogs HQ, by the way. We got our commit viewing guide coming up here in just a little bit, so you can check that out. But if you want to watch a way to watch those guys play live, NFHS Network allows you to do that, whether it's your favorite recruit or even just a family member, your local team, man. The NFHS Network allows you to be there for every moment, even when you can't be there in person. Stream all the games live, on demand, and even clips, clip highlights from the favorite moments and share them with friends and family. So get over, check out NFHSnetwork.com, NFHSnetwork.com. It's a super cool service, man. It's unbelievable that you can do this. I mean, you don't have to listen to the radio man, anymore. You can get in, watch it all live for yourself and see some of these freak shows Georgia's got coming in because there are plenty. And like I said, we'll have that viewing guide for you over at Dogs HQ.
All right, Roos, we will wrap today's show up with a couple questions from the chat. Want to shout out the one that we got on the message board. I threw that up a little late. And so the one that we did get in, we have already hit on, Mr. Medium Rare. What is your one concern you took away from UGA on each side of the ball after the Clemson game? I think that we discussed that a little bit in the opening. But we do want to hit on a couple from the chat as well. Jake, any of these stand out to you? Here's one that stands out to me as we talk about that Clemson game a little bit. And this one, it remains to be seen. Is Clemson's front seven tougher than Alabama's? To me, my gut says yes. My gut says yes because of how much talent is up front. And that's not to say that Alabama doesn't have talent, but, you know, I don't know that Peter Woods and TJ Parker and Barrett Carter, and you've just got so many special players in that Clemson front seven. To me, I would say Clemson's front seven is tougher than Alabama's. Now, we will have to see, but that to me, that's a yes. Clemson's front seven is tougher than Alabama's.
I could see it. The thing is, what I don't know. It's tough to say because there's some tremendous players, and you knew they're going to be. I mean, it's Alabama, for God's sakes. I mean, they despite the coaching changeover, they left the cupboard well stocked for anybody coming in next. I mean, you got LT Overton, you got James Smith, you got Keon Keeley was a guy that everybody loved coming out. It's as deep, I'll say that. And it won't surprise me if it's better. I think with time it will be. If you'd caught Clemson at the same spot that you're catching Alabama in the year, that might be a different conversation too. But I don't know that they have anybody quite as good as Peter Wood. I think that
Alabama's is probably deeper.
I agree.
Clemson might be better at the top end.
Yeah, yeah. I could probably lean toward that. I think from a depth perspective, though, yeah, it's probably – I'd give the edge to Alabama in that perspective.
So appreciate that question from the chat. Here's another one. And Roos, this is right up your alley. And fitting after Monday's performance from Florida State, C.J. Wiley was in attendance. Michael Turner asks, any positive momentum on Wiley or Chroma? Can't spell the running back's name. Hey, that's a tough one.
First off, I want to thank Michael Turner for his service to the Falcons, one of the leading rushers that we ever had. That was incredible. Thank you so much, sir. Your time with the Chargers was also something I appreciated. but positive momentum on Wiley or Chroma. Look, I'll tell you this. CJ Wiley's is not going to tell you. I mean, he hasn't throughout the whole process. You may remember that no one knew he was going to go to Florida State, and everyone was stunned when it happened. So you can't really, like, garner exactly where his head is with things. Do I think it helps? Yeah. Does it
hurt watching Florida State lose?
It's more about the school that he's committed to and what they're doing versus what Georgia's doing, in my opinion. Florida State's crumble right now, free fall, is something that I do think benefits Georgia with CJ Wiley. Is it an end-all be-all? I don't know about that, but I do think that they're in a really good shape, and they were going to keep pressing anyway, but what a gift this is that it's fallen in their lap like this. Chroma, I'm still kind of skeptical about that one. I think that he probably ends up elsewhere. I think that Auburn feels like the spot right now to me. I'm watching the Shane Marshall thing very closely, and our guy Jeremy had some great stuff with Shane Marshall, went down to see him play. This kid, people would be talking a lot more about him if he hadn't been injured last year. The tape is real. This kid is a real threat. I think Georgia gets in this thing and really makes it hard to say no. I think that he's kind of waiting on it too. I think he's waiting on that push. So that's my feeling as to how this thing plays out. Right now, Shane Marshall, if I were a betting man, I think he'd be the guy to look at.
Yeah, I tend to agree. Just reading the tea leaves on both those situations, and certainly going to be interesting to follow all the visits this fall. Who's going to be in town? Who's going elsewhere? All that. Last question that we will take from the chat today from Gil Lawson: how long do you play the first string or main core of players against these type of teams? Is it based on time or the game score? To me, it's definitely based on the game score. It's less about the score and more about the feel to me of, hey, when does this feel like it's out of hand? When does this feel like we can put in our backups and this game is no shot of this game going the other way. I think it happens earlier than in some situations. This is an FCS opponent. This is not a bad FCS opponent. I mean, they just played Middle Tennessee and probably gave them everything they had to offer. Could have won that game. And against all odds, Middle Tennessee came back. Derek Mason's squad there in Murfreesboro. To me, if I had to guess, I would say that the first string plays the entire first half, but I think that you're probably going to see some rotation in there with the first string of those second stringers and see how they fit in with the core guys. Like I was talking about with the defensive line, it wouldn't shock me if you see less of Nazir Stackhouse and less of Kristen Miller and more of, and throw Tyrion Ingram Dawkins in that mix as well. And more of guys like Joseph Jonah Ajanye and Jordan Thomas and Nasir Johnson, those type of guys playing with the CJ Allens and Jalen Walkers and that group at linebacker and the first team DBs. I think that you're going to see a good bit of rotation. And then I think that once those starters per se, your veterans, the guys that you know you can count on, have gotten enough snaps to where, you know, they've broken a sweat on that Saturday, which I don't think is going to be too tough at 2 p.m. on a Saturday in Athens in September. Once those guys have gotten enough work, I think that we will see the second teamers stick in there. And that's how you saw KJ Bolden get the most snaps on Saturday. Now, last weekend's game was not out of hand, but you know, look back at that Oregon game, for example, a couple years ago. Malachi Starks led the team in snaps, and it wasn't because he was in there the most with the first team. It's because he was in there a lot with the first team and then all of the second team snaps. That's how they treated KJ Bolden on Saturday. I wouldn't be surprised if that's how they continue to treat KJ Bolden and that he's going to continue to get a lot of reps. I threw it up this week on the message board. You can make a really strong group defensively with just true freshmen. Now, it's not your best look in the secondary. You're having to play two outside linebackers instead of a star, and you're having to put a corner at safety. But man, that talent, that group is really talented there. So, all that being said, I think that the first string is going to get enough work. My guess is that they probably don't play in the second half. And if they play in the second half, it's just one series.
I just don't think that you're going to see a true starting lineup, right?
Right.
I don't think this is going to be, this is going to be an amended look either way. And like I said, if it's me, I'm not marching Nazir Stackhouse out there. I'm saying, hey, big guy, go get some pizza and hang out on the sideline. Like, I mean, I'm just not chancing it. You saw that hit on Mykel Williams last week. Yeah. And I'm not saying that Tennessee Tech's out seeking to do anything like that. I don't think that they are necessarily. But things happen in piles. Things happen, you know, when people are cutting across and trying to pull on a move or something like that or going in motion,
do
whatever.
Do you agree that defensive line is probably a little bit different because of the injury situation there?
100%.
That you have so many guys that you're going to be a little bit more careful with that group as opposed to saying that you want to risk an offensive lineman. But I think that having Micah Morris and Tate Ratledge and Dylan Fairchild, you're going to see those guys. You're going to see them in there. They're going to rotate because if you knock on wood, if you were to lose one of them, you'd be fine because you have the other guys there.
Right.
They don't have an injury situation there. They do at defensive line. That's why those guys may not see the number of snaps.
Yep. No, I'm with you for sure on that. And I mean, look, you're not going to see Mykel Williams. Like you said, Janelle Aguero is probably back. I probably wouldn't even run him. I mean, just there's no
reason. I think you do with him because he didn't play last weekend, but probably
I
not.
I think there's a reason. I think you let him do it. Give him to the next week, whatever. My thing is shelve the guys that need to be shelved or don't need you. I mean, you don't need Janelle Aguero this week to beat Tennessee Tech. So I understand wanting to get him in there and get some sea legs under him and get some reps under his belt. I get that. But the idea of just pushing him out there for the sake of pushing him out there, I don't like that. I think that you hold on to the kid. Everybody who's a little tweaked, just let him hang out. Like I said, get some you know, get some pizza for them on the sideline and let them wave at their friends and family and, you know, have a good time and let those freshmen get in there and handle business. Because, you know, Georgia's done a good job of that over the last few years of getting the young guys ready to play. And by the end of the year, a lot of those guys turn into veterans. And a lot of those guys have a lot of snaps under their belt. It's the reason they're so reliant on a guy like Warren Brinson or Nazir Stackhouse this year is because they have so much experience under their belt from years of rotating in behind these guys. I think that you'll see a lot of that. And I hope that's the case this week as well.
And it's why we're sickos. We love watching these games just as much as we do the big ones, because we get a chance to see those young guys that we've been writing about for the last several years. So, you know, shame on us.
Shout out to Stephanie Worley out there becoming a YouTube member. We appreciate that. Joining Dogs HQ Plus. You can always check us out on YouTube here. We got the Dogs HQ Plus show. That comes out on Tuesdays with Rusty and Jake, a little bit behind the scenes. You can always get that over at Dogs HQ, too, if you're not a member over there. Come check us out, man. We got all kinds of content coming for you all the time. Don't matter what it is. Recruiting updates, team scoop. Jake did Empty in the Notebook earlier today. We got you covered wire to wire. So hang out with Dogs HQ. It's just as much fun over at the message board as it is on the YouTube channel, I promise you.
And it might be more. It might
be more. And we can use gifts over there, so it's even better.
Yes. So, but that'll do it for Roos and I. Georgia takes on Tennessee Tech Saturday at 2 p.m. Eastern, SEC Network Plus, ESPN Plus. If you are wondering how to watch that game, we've got a great tutorial from our own Jake Rowe on the YouTube channel. He guides you on how to find that game on the Watch ESPN streaming services. And that's important this week, because it's not just on your cable television. And if you are a DirecTV user, it may not be on your cable television anyway. So, but that'll do it for us. For Palmer Toms and Jake Roos, we are out.